Every so often, Adolf, we seem to plan a discussion where one of the old adages fits right in.
Yes, dear, what do you have in mind?
Well, today the one that seems to fit is, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Well, I think the more modern version of that saying is, people who live in glass houses should pull down the shades.
Oh, please, dear, this is a serious subject.
Oh, very well. What is this subject you want to discuss?
The new type of home, known as the solar house, and the wonderful benefits that can be derived from this method of construction.
In speaking about solar houses, Varee, I think we should consider the possibility that many people might not care for a house that is mostly all windows.
Well, dear, the solar house actually is not all windows.
It's not?
No, it is only the south wall that actually has the large window that is placed there for, I suppose, originally it was done for the purpose of view. We all know that for many, many hundreds of years, man has been trying to come out of the darkness into his home and get more light. And I suppose that that was the original idea, which started sometime, I believe, in the 1930s,
mm-hmm.
when this new architectural idea came into being of putting the south wall of the living room, preferably, because that is the room you're in most of the time, into as large a window as possible. But you must have an architect who is an engineer as well, because it is more than just putting in the window. In other words, you have to control the sun by having it come in the wintertime. You want all the sun in the summertime you don't. And in order to keep out the heat of the sun's rays in the summer, they have to put what they call an overhang on the outside.
Now then, where did the name then solar house come in, S-O-L-A-R?
Sun.
The sun.
It's allowing the sun to come in.
Yes.
That's exactly what it
yes,
is.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sun. Also, it gives you the feature of practically living out of doors. You have a feeling that you are a part of the out of doors.
That also, I think, was one of the main reasons why they went in for building houses of this kind.
Well, wouldn't that necessitate a large piece of property in an open space where no neighboring house could obstruct the view or block the view of the sun?
Well, I don't think any more than it could certainly be put in any neighborhood. You know that you very well that in any room that you have in your house that the southern exposure gets a certain amount of sun every day.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know that you don't depend entirely upon your south wall window giving you the entire heat for the house. You have to have heating in the house as well.
Yes, I understand that one can have the heating apparatus as well, but it isn't used as much if you trap the sun.
Well, that's very true, and I think that's another reason why so many people now are becoming interested in the solar houses, because it does cut down on the heating, also on your lighting.
Where was the experimental house? I seem to have heard somewhere, read somewhere about the house in Illinois that...
Oh, in Chicago.
Yes. You know...
Oh, yes. Well, that, of course, was, I think, the beginning of really the true popularity throughout the country of the solar houses. It was in 1943, I believe, during a very, very cold spell that they had, and they had an experimental house there, and they found out that on a day in January when the temperature went to 17 below zero, that in this solar house they had their automatic heating system, of course, and the thermostat was set for 72 degrees, and they discovered that the heating automatically went off at 8:30 in the morning and did not come on again automatically until 8:30 at night, proving that the temperature in the house never dropped below 72 degrees, even though it was below zero out of doors. So that all the leading magazines and the newspapers flocked there to see this amazing thing that had happened, which it was.
Mm-hmm.
So that from that time on, of course, we've had more and more solar houses built all over the country.
Yes, there's one not far from Wheeler, well, it's 4 or 5 miles away, in which both walls, north and south, are glass, in a very narrow living room. I wouldn't understand the reason for that, but I know in driving by, I can look right through at a huge, huge wall of glass.
Well, I can understand that in California. I don't think that would be too difficult a situation, having the north wall as well as the south of glass, but I think in any other part of the country where you have severe winters, I should think that having the north wall in glass would be a great drawback, because you would get all the cold.
Yeah, well, what about sunburn? Is that a danger or a feature of any kind?
Well, no, that's something that a lot of people have asked, but of course that is absolutely not true. First of all, your ultraviolet rays, which cause sunburn, do not filter through glass used in solar houses. The rays which penetrate and give you the warmth are the infrared rays.
But then there is a special glass, then, for the
yes, there's
wall.
There's a double type of glass that they use now, and it is called thermopane.
Mm-hmm. A very good name.
isn't it?
It tells the story beautifully.
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's a great advantage in other ways, plus the beauty of the windows is the fact that they're much easier to clean. If you don't have to clean windows, you can't appreciate
no,
that.
What about interior decorating with a wall that's all, a long wall, let's say 20 feet long, 30 feet long, it's all glass?
What do you mean?
Would that change your interior decorating of your home? Would it require something different, something new?
No, that's a very interesting point, because so many people feel that if you're going to have a solar house, that the architecture should be modern. And that is not true. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't affect the exterior of the house, nor does it the interior.
Well, we see so many, many moderns in California now.
Yes.
Redwood, California redwood with yes. glass and so mm-hmm. on. So I had a feeling myself that perhaps it called for...
Special architecture. No, nor design. And also, you know, these houses can be built anywhere from Maine to California. It makes no difference.
Mm-hmm.
They work beautifully no matter where you do them. Well, you know, the thing that has always really, I think, impressed me the most about these solar houses, though, is the effect one gets of living in a garden.
Oh, yes. Here in Southern California, even many conventional-type homes are built mm-hmm. so the living rooms are really part of the outdoors. Mm-hmm. Flowers and growing plants become important adjuncts to living.
I think it's a lovely idea. Well, not only in California, but in almost any part of the country, I think that flowers can add so much to our existence. Well, let's talk about gardens and flowers after we listen for a moment to someone else.
Navri, I've watched you make so many beautiful arrangements with flowers that I think I'll just sit back and listen. You don't mind if I ask a few questions, do you?
No, dear, go right ahead, if I can answer them.
Well, I've always been curious as to the proper method of caring for flowers to make them last. Cut flowers, that is, I mean.
Well,
are there any special methods or tools or...
Well, there are a few things that I think that probably everyone knows about, but in as much as you don't seem to, I'll tell you. It depends if you have flowers that you're talking about, garden flowers, or those that you buy at the florist. And yet I think that it's a very safe precaution to take, that when you do cut flowers, we'll say, in the garden, they should be cut either early in the morning, before the sun comes up, or late in the afternoon. And then they should be placed in deep water, in a dark place, for 2 or 3 hours before you arrange them, which gives them a chance to draw up enough water into the heads.
Well, now then, shouldn't they be cut every day, or cut underwater?
Well, that's something else. You're a little confused there. It depends. It depends upon the type of flower. Some flowers you must change the water every day, and then in other cases there are powders that you can get in the different florists or nurseries that you can put in the water, and then you don't have to change it. But if you do change the water, you're right. If you are going to cut a little off the end, which should always be done with a knife, incidentally, and not with a pair of shears, because then you bruise the stem and are quite apt to close it up so that they won't draw water, that should be done underwater. Because if not, an air bubble, if you take the flowers out of water and cut them, the air bubble will go up, and then when you put them back in water, they'll never draw up to the top.
I understand perfectly.
Do you, dear?
Yes. Also, isn't it true that flower arrangements are part of the Japanese culture, part of Japanese life?
Oh, yes, that's absolutely true. I mean, they have made it a great ceremony. It has quite a different feeling over there in Japan. I mean, it has a different place in the lives of the people. They do an arrangement of flowers, and they will place it in a certain position in their homes, as we would put a painting, and everyone that visits the home is more or less expected to admire it, and they do. But they do flowers differently than we do. They will never put a large bunch of flowers together. They do the simple arrangement, which sometimes I have done that you have seen, where they use always an odd number. You use 3 or 5 or 7 flowers, never any more, and they try to create the illusion that they are in the soil, still growing.
Now, I want to ask you something else. Are there any new kind of flowers, or have there been any new kind of flowers in, say, the last 100 years?
Oh, my dear, they're always finding new flowers. I mean, that, of course, is to the seed growers. Now you're talking about to the seed growers.
I mean an entirely new kind of a flower. I mean a new variety of flower.
Well, I'm talking about a new variety, yes, of course. Sometimes they're found by accident. Sometimes they are deliberately grown, which means by crossing and the pollinization, that sort of thing, which they have to do. Incidentally, some of that has to be done by hand. You know, there are some flowers that will not reseed themselves. There are some types of petunias that will not, in which it then has to be done by hand, which is a very tedious and a very painstaking job.
I've always been baffled by where the seeds come from and how it's done. I know we have an expression... he's gone to seed, or they're going to seed. That must mean that they've dried or limp and And aged and...
Well, that isn't quite true. But anyone traveling in California, if they go in the northern part of the state, they will go through some perfectly beautiful valleys, and you are apt to see at a certain time of the year acres and acres of flowers in full bloom, and you wonder why they haven't cut them. Well, those are the seed ranches that we have out here. And incidentally, the sweet pea industry alone, the state of California grows 90% of the world's sweet pea seeds. Mm-hmm. And... Do you know, I suppose you do, maybe you don't, do you know that they have never been able to develop a yellow sweet pea?
No, I don't believe that. I've seen yellow sweet peas.
Yes, I know you have, but they've all been dyed. They've been hand-dipped. I mean, they have never been able to grow one.
You don't mean it?
Yes, I do.
Well, what about a green flower? Has there ever been a green flower, a really vivid green flower?
Well, now you mean a green cut flower? Or
no, I mean
bush?
A green flower.
Well,
a bush of flower.
Well, you have some orchids that have a type of green, and also you have the canary bird tree, which comes from Guatemala. We have one in the back garden,
yes.
Which has the body of the little bird is sort of a chartreuse green, and the little beak is purple.
True, but those are oriental flowers. And I'm talking
well,
about
you
no
didn't
green
ask me
zinnias.
That. You said green flowers.
I've seen green carnations.
No, but they've been dipped. Oh, dear. Well, once again, dear, we've about reached the end of the time allotted to us. This is Varietés del Monjou speaking from Beverly Hills.
And this is Adolphe Monjou thanking you for this opportunity to visit and hoping we may be invited into your home soon again.